Ben Fagan here with another episode of Career Cash, the podcast. And on this episode, I sit down with Maurice Manswell, founder of WeTrain. WeTrain is an app designed to match K through 12 parents with NCAA student athletes in order to complete one-on-one training sessions, sit-down mentor sessions, and group sessions with their children. On the episode, Maurice and I talk about WeTrain's creation, the power of patience, and how he hopes to give back to a community that's given so much to him. It's an awesome conversation. Let's get to it. All right. Well, I am back and we are here with another episode. I'm super excited for this one. We got a lot to unpack here. And so without further ado, I want to welcome Maurice to the show. Welcome, Maurice. How are you doing today?
Thank you. I'm doing really well. I appreciate it for being here.
Awesome. Absolutely. So we just like to dive into things here, you know, so before we go too deep in any one direction, give us a little context. You're doing a lot of cool things. So give us a little context on what you're doing on a day-to-day basis. Then we'll talk a little bit about how you got there, where you're going, everything like that. So what are you doing on a day-to-day basis here? What are some of the projects you're working on?
So on a day-to-day basis, it's really balancing school and the app that I've just built. So it's really like class app. I'm attending the University of Miami right now. And the app that I built, I created it while I was at Lynn. And so in August of 2022, I was training kids on the side to basically just be able to, or August 2021, actually, I was training kids on the side just to make some extra money and be able to give back to community as a college athlete to kids that look up to me. And so a lot of the times I would go to my sessions and my teammates would be like, can I get some kids to train, some clients, any ways to make quick extra money and stuff like that. And so I would do that for them. But then one day I was at dinner with my mom talking about the NIL rule that had just been announced in July. And so we had basically come to the conclusion, like, what if I had created a platform that allows all college and pro athletes to be able to do exactly what I was doing, but all directly through an app? So the next day I just got started jotting down and researching app companies to be able to make it. And I landed on AppSketeers in Georgia. And so they basically took it from an idea to the app store. So it connects K through 12 parents with college and pro athletes to be able to do one-on-one group sessions, sit-down mentor sessions, and events around the world.
No, I love that. And we're going to dive a little bit deeper into, you know, the meaning behind all that stuff too. But I want to talk a little bit about that this whole research process, because I think that's something that often gets overlooked, and I'm sure you can attest to, where it's like, all right, you have an idea, now it's an app, and people are like, oh, sick, you know. But there's way more that goes into it, I can only imagine. So can you kind of break that whole process down from, like, all right, you're sitting, you know, one night you're sitting at the table with your mom having dinner, the next night, you know, it's in the app store, but I'm sure there's more time that went into it. So what was that process like in a little more detail?
Yeah, it was very time consuming. I was really just in a locked in mode where it's like, okay, it's in the works now. So I just have to do everything I can in my power to make it the best as possible. It was a full night of just me researching what are the top app development companies in the US. And looked at a couple of different links, and AppSketeers had popped up in a good amount of them. So I was like, okay, I'm going to contact them, see how it works. We meet, they have the initiation call, and they're basically having me give the idea to them. And they're giving us sketches and stuff like that. Okay, this is what it would look like. And then after that, it's like, okay, it looks good. Then that's when we start the UI UX process. And so then it's like, okay, we've made the UI UX. This is what it'll look like. And then that's when it really like turned into, okay, this is exactly what I want it to look like. It was just like, I mean, I had actually paid someone $100 to come film us, me and two teammates from Lynn, to basically start that loading screen process. But then I realized, I was like, okay, I can't pay $100 for every single sport. So I just bought a $100 camera off Amazon, actually. And I went around to a bunch of different Lynn athletes and asked them if I could record for this app. They were all for it. I basically recorded some basketball, soccer, baseball, tennis, all from Lynn University, and got some clips from some other kids as well that went to other schools. But I basically combined it into that. And then, yeah.
So you had to kind of get a little creative with this whole process of, you know, mixing and matching there. And so throughout that process, was there any times where you're like, okay, like what is my next move going to be?
Yeah. I mean, the process of me recording it, like I was like, okay, I'm doing this for a reason. I see the vision of how it's going to look. I just got to get through it all right now. It was definitely some times where it's like, okay, what do I do next? Like, but it was mainly also, it's like, I didn't really have much control since they were the ones making the app. So I was the one giving the idea, feedback, what I want to look like, edits, stuff like that. But there really wasn't much I could do to speed the process up for the app being developed. So in the meantime, I was really just reaching out to companies, athletes, stuff like that, just building the brand and building the awareness of the app that's coming out soon. But yeah, it was definitely some what's next moments. And yeah.
Now, was this something like this idea of helping, you know, student athletes, professional athletes, youth athletes, something that you always wanted to do? Or did that come when you kind of discovered, like, saying, hey, you know, you had a couple friends who were like, let me get in on this whole, you know, training game? Was this kind of larger concept of giving back to the community or being involved something you always wanted to be a part of? Or like I said, something that you kind of came across later?
Yeah, I mean, so I grew up with two Division I athlete older brothers. So sports have always been in my life. So I basically got to witness them go from a teenager to a college athlete. So I always realized, okay, to be able to do that, like if I'm going to do it as well, you got to have proper training, hydration, everything and stuff like that. And so, yeah, I mean, it was always something that's like, okay, I know I wanted to do something in sports, but I just didn't know what it was. And this just like kind of, it really was like, it was just the perfect option because it's like, okay, I was in college when the NIL rule got introduced. So I had just played a season without it and then got to go into a season with it. And so then I also started to realize it's like, okay, so this really only benefits the really popular athletes with the social, large social media following. And so I was like, okay, this platform is going to be available for all college athletes to be able to make money and give back to the community at the same time, because with NIL, it really only benefits the brand and it just floods the athletes' social media feed, but they really want to keep unique and personal to them. And so that's when I was like, okay, I mean, this is something that a lot of people do. A lot of people train kids on the side, but it's all local and word of mouth and stuff like that. There's no reliable one platform that's like, okay, go here to train kids and make money and stuff like that. So I had really started to realize it's like, okay, my teammates are asking me for clients. We grew up in the app industry. Like we watched apps blow up from YouTube being the original tan icon to what it is now. So it's like we really got to my generation and yours as well, like we got to really grow into the app industry. And so I was like, okay, everyone is it's unfortunate, but everyone is addicted to their phones. And so I felt like, okay, how can we do something that allows K-12 students like myself and my brothers, when we were young, like we used to watch Tavon Austin's highlight tape every single day, like every single day. And so but back then he wasn't allowed to make money. So like there was no way for us to be able to learn from him. And so I just know that when you're growing up playing sports, your dream and aspiration is to become a college athlete. And you look up to these kids or these college athletes. So it's like, I just wanted to be able to make that connection. And yeah, I was able to do it. It's awesome.
That's sweet. I remember, you know, kind of talking about like the looking up point of view was, you know, when I was in high school, we would have college teams come play at like our complex or whatever it was. And I just remember, I'm thinking like, damn, I was like, those dudes are kind of big, you know, but, but it was funny just, and then I get to college. I'm like, all right, these are just my teammates now, you know, so that transition is different. So can you kind of talk a little bit about that from the I guess the athletes that you all are serving, you know, what this app can do for them in terms of connecting them to these athletes of, you know, all levels from, you know, because are you working all levels of college as well? Any college athletes?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about that just from that perspective of the importance of this app for those, you know, K-12 athletes coming up in the game and how the college athletes can help them?
Yeah. So from the K-12 side, it's really just like I said, like they look up to these kids. So being able to build that connection. And for example, like kids I've trained have invited me to their birthday parties, to their games, stuff like that. It's really like that lifelong bond that it's not just you're making money from their parents. You're actually like teaching them stuff and they want your approval since you're the one who taught them. So it's like really being able to have these K-12 students have like a friend, a mentor that is doing exactly what they want to do in the future. And it's like, it's really beautiful. Like just being able to get a text like that, like, can you come to my birthday party? Can you come to this game? Like, I want you to be there and support. It's really just to build that. It's like, okay. Cause a lot of times during sessions, like their parent would say the same exact thing that I said, but they wouldn't really listen. But then when I'd say it, they would listen. So it's like, they truly admire and look up to these kids. And so that it's building that bond. And it's like, okay, one day I'm going to be like him. And then eventually when they're in college, they can use WeTrain as well and give back to community. And then for the college athlete side, it's a study conducted that 86% of college athletes live below the federal poverty line. So it's a fact, like a lot of college athletes do struggle with just lack of financial aid. no time for jobs and stuff like that. So it's really providing them an income option that is doing what they love, gives back community, doesn't flood their Instagram profile feed. And just also like mental health is a big thing in my family because my middle brother, he actually went through a tough time when he was a college athlete at West Virginia. He ended up getting kicked off the team for literally just driving his teammate to the hospital who had got stabbed. But since he was at the scene, the coach kicked them all off the team. So mental health is really a big thing. And so it really allows these college athletes to realize how valuable their life is and how many people want to be in their position. And just, yeah, building that connection factor.
No, I think that's such an important thing and such a powerful thing that you bring up too, is because I remember when I was working in the Career Center at Lynn, we would that's you know, before we started recording, talking about you know, a conversation I had with Brandon Ellis, and we would have these kind of athlete roundtables because me, and I don't know if you're familiar with her, Danny Lotzi, who played basketball at Lynn too on the women's basketball team. You know, she was working in our office too, and just coming from the athletic background, we were thinking like, okay, you know, especially in the career office, you're there, you want to play sports, you're not really thinking about all the other things. But we didn't want to come from like the life after sports thing, because I hated that, you know, when I was playing and stuff, because it was like, yeah, I get it, like, you know, all that stuff. And so one of the conversations, I remember this so vividly, was the idea was like, okay, I'm about to graduate and I don't have any work experience. And what I said was like, even if you don't have the work experience, just the work that you do as a student athlete, you know, shows, you know, all the, you know, surface level stuff, you know, the teamwork, the communication, you know, all that kind of stuff. But I think what you can do with your platform is even kind of push that a little bit further of, you know, providing some work experience and something to continue to add to the resume, which I think for the college athletes out there who are listening, you know, to stuff like this is such an important thing, because it's something that, to your point, with the crazy schedule, that you're able to do, that's easy enough and generally enjoyable enough to go out there, you know, work with, you know, the different students like that. And so was that something that you kind of thought about going into this, of like, you know, building the experience, or is that kind of like a cherry on top for you?
It's really like a cherry on top. Like, I mean, yeah, it's just like, I know that a lot of these athletes, like, they don't really know what to do. Like, they have free time, but like, since it's not consistent and it's like different off days, stuff like that, like, it's really scrambled. And so I mean, some athletes even turn into like illegal avenues, selling stuff that they shouldn't be, just because like they really need the money. And and so yeah, like, we really just wanted to like, how can we approach the NIL space but not have it be where it's only benefiting the brand? Like, we want these kids to actually make 100% of the money from each session payment that they do. Like, we don't want to take any money from them, because they really do need it. And I've witnessed it firsthand. Like, I've witnessed some teammates like have to literally leave the school because they couldn't afford it anymore, or they weren't making enough money and stuff like that. So yeah, I really wanted to like bridge that gap. And that was definitely a cherry on top for the experience.
No, I love that. I love that. So kind of bringing things up to present day, talk a little bit more about how you're balancing everything from developing this app, you know, this full on app to school, to just life in general. Cause I think that's always something that transcends jobs, industries, different positions, backgrounds. It's something everyone has to deal with. It's just what that looks like is different. So what does that look like for you? The balancing, the juggling act?
Yeah, I mean, it is pretty tough. So actually at the beginning of the semester, I decided that, so UMiami basically does 5 classes at a time. And so I was like, okay, I'm gonna do 4 right now, and just see how it goes, because I know I'm gonna be having meetings every week, talking with developers and stuff like that, like hosting events. So it definitely is tough to balance. But I mean, I'm the one that made the decision to develop the app, so I just have to accept it and work through it and try to adapt. But I feel like I've adapted pretty well. In January 2022 to May, right when I got accepted, I took a gap semester actually. So I wasn't in school. I was only working on the app. I was at home, stuff like that. And so that was right before I had transferred. But that gap definitely helped me a lot, because it's like, okay, you got to focus right now and then be able to realize that once school comes, you're going to have to be able to balance going to class and make your schedule where it's not too hectic. And so, yeah, the 4 classes definitely helped me a lot. But balancing, it's like sometimes I just like, it's like, okay, just sit down and relax, do what you want to do. Like, you've been working very hard, so you got to also take time for yourself and just not be completely zoned in, like completely just only doing work in school. Like, I just gotta sometimes just literally sit down, play a game of Madden or something like that, like just relax. But yeah, I mean, it's been pretty well. Like, the university seems to work with me a lot as well. Like, they understand. And so yeah, the balance is definitely, it's not easy, but I mean, once you make the decision, there's really no going back. So you just really have to adapt to it.
Talk to me a little bit about patience, just the word patience in this whole process with everything. So what's patience? What kind of role does patience play in your life?
Patience over the past 2 years, patience was definitely something I had to learn and grow with, because the app actually did take a little bit longer than I expected to get developed. And so, but again, there was nothing I can do about it because they were the ones like doing the coding, stuff like that. I didn't really understand coding and how long it takes and stuff like that. So patience was definitely something that I've grown with a lot. But yeah, it's something you really have to do, because everyone just can't work on your time. Like, even though I was excited about it, I wanted to get the app out as quick as possible. I really just like, I would talk to my mom, like, I just want the app out there. It's taking a lot longer than I expected. And she's like, you just got to relax. It's all going to work out when it should be. And so she was 100% right. But yeah, patience was definitely something that I've learned a lot over the past 2 years, because it did take a little bit longer than I expected to get out.
And how do you feel your relationship with patience is now? Better, worse, and different?
Definitely better, a lot better. Okay, you got to realize, like, everything just doesn't work when you want it to or expect it to. So there's going to be errors, there's going to be bugs, errors to edit, stuff like that. So you really just got to breathe and just understand that it's all going to work out when it's supposed to. But patience, I'm appreciative of it, because there was moments where it's like, okay, is the app ever going to come out? Like, it's taking a lot longer than I expected. But again, when you're building something like this, it has to be perfect. And so you don't want to rush it and then have it be out, and it's just, you know what I'm saying? It's not what you want it to be. So I'm really glad I was patient and kept that good relationship with my previous developers before they, basically with the developers, they code the app. And then once it's on the app store, they give it to you and you find new developers to be able to take over. Mm-hmm. So I just basically had to wait. Okay, they're just going to get it on the app store. Sometimes one time it got rejected by the app store, and then we had to wait again and submit it again. So patience is really something that a lot of people need to learn and be able to grow with, because again, like, the world doesn't revolve around you. Like, you got to be able to work with people and there's schedules and stuff like that, but it's all going to work out in the end.
No, absolutely. And you mentioned a couple of times that just these moments are where, like, just straight up, there's just nothing you can do, right? Okay. It's, you got to control what you can control, and that whole idea and that whole method. Now, is that something that you've always kind of held, that mentality and that attitude, or is that something that you've had to kind of adapt and adopt throughout this process of saying, like, hey, I got, for my own personal sanity, I got to let go of those things. What was that process like for you to kind of get to that point?
Yeah, I mean, my first experience with that was actually right before I transferred to IMG Academy. So I had went to a tournament. I joined this club team called MDX in Maryland, which is a lacrosse club. And our first tournament was called IMG Nationals, which was at IMG Academy. So we went down there. We played really well. I played really well as well. So the IMG was recruiting there as well. So they are basically looking for kids who are they going to recruit to bring to the school, actually. And so after that tournament, that's when I started being in contact with them, and they had showing interest. And so going into my junior year of high school, it was kind of like a little bit late, but I had went to one of, they invited me to one of their free prospect camps at the campus. And so I went, we were talking, they were showing a lot of interest. I was getting really excited. It's like, wow, I'm really about to have the opportunity to go to IMG on a scholarship as well. But so going into my junior year of high school, it's like, okay, we had just filled all of our spots for lacrosse, so we don't have money right now. And so that was my first experience. It's like, damn, there's really nothing I can do. Like, like, they just don't have the money right now. So I just have to understand. That's where my first patience experience came in as well. It's like, just trust that it's going to happen. And so I was talking with one of the kids on the team as well. I was like, you think they're going to bring me in second semester? He's like, 1000%. So he said that. I was like, okay, I'm just going to breathe. He said it. I feel like he wouldn't lie to me. And it makes a lot of sense. They got to get more money from the first semester to be able to give out scholarships for the second semester. And then lo and behold, second semester, they were able to give me the money and I was able to transfer.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's awesome. I'm like, where's the story going? It's going. That's incredible. And that's such an important lesson. And this is what I love. And this is what's so cool about doing this show is because, you know, as much as I hope, you know, it's able to help other people out there, selfishly, it helps me too, you know, just hearing the different perspectives and everything. And that's one of the biggest things is that continuous practice of patience, of, you know, letting go, or, you know, controlling the things that you can control, I think is, you know, so important. And so kind of looking, you know, more to what you got going on today, a little bit more in the future. You know, what are some things that you have in the works for the app, some different projects that you have, some things that you're working towards right now?
Yeah, so we actually just recently introduced WeHealth, which is basically a sector where we allowed licensed physical therapists, sports dietitians, and mental health performance coaches to be able to be accessible on the app so all of our users can book them. So we don't charge them at all because we really believe in all of those being a necessity to succeed as an athlete. So we have about 6 members on board as well. So that we're super excited about that. And then we're also going to start introducing Retrain Academy, which is like our camps, clinics, and combines that we're going to host. And we actually have a couple confirmed ones right now. We can't say the names of the athletes, but they are a couple of top athletes that are super excited about it as well. So they're going to be pretty spread out around the country, but that's definitely our next 2 projects that we're super excited about.
No, I love it. So before I forget, because I want to make sure that this is in here. So how can athletes on both sides get involved? Because I was checking out, you know, the Instagram, the website, everything. You guys have a ton of stuff and it's really, really awesome. So touch on a little bit about how the athletes from the college professional athletes can get involved with the coaching, and then the youth athletes can get involved with the mentoring.
Right. So we kind of work like a 2-sided marketplace, similar to Uber, DoorDash, and Lyft. So you know how they have Uber driver, Uber client, DoorDash driver, DoorDash client. So we have 2 apps. One is WeTrain K-12 parent. So if they're under 18, their parent will essentially sign them up and should put all their info, sport, everything, their ID, just so we know that they're real. And then so that's free for the parents right now. So any parent or K-12 kid can sign up, have a free account, and be able to book trainers right away. And then for the trainer side, we have to do background checks with all of them. And so we charge $10 a month or $8 a month for them to be accessible on the app, which covers their background check, gives them access to the app, promotional items, stuff like that. We're also talking with a couple major hydration and supplement companies. So once we onboard them, all users will be able to buy their products directly through the app.
So we got a lot going on here. Yeah. Got a lot going on. I love this. So we're gonna ask a tough question, but I think it's something you've had to think about before. Just from even sitting down with you here, I know this is how your brain works. So talk to me about, you know, one of, if you have multiple, biggest goal, something that you really hope to accomplish in the future. And I wanna get big. I wanna get grand. You know, yeah. What are some big visions that you have for yourself and for WeTrain and all the things that you're working on?
Some big visions we have is really to become the official training partner of a ton of professional leagues. So like the NFL, NBA, MLB, MLS, even European soccer. Like we really want to integrate with those leagues because they have youth sectors as well. And because then we'll be able to connect those two together. Because for example, NFL has NFL Academy, which is a bunch of like minors that basically play, and they're basically like the youth NFL. And so just being able to integrate with those leagues and maybe even universities and K-12 schools, that's where we're aiming for, and club teams. But yeah, we really just want to become the number one training platform and provider around the world where everyone's like, okay, WeTrain, I want to learn from any pro athlete or college athlete, sign up, make a profile and stuff like that.
I love it. I love it. Well, I'm excited for that. I'm not even playing anymore. I'm just like, I might lace them up again, you know, just training, not even to train people, just to get the training, right. You know? So no, this has been awesome, man. But before we leave, you know, I can't let you go without giving us a little extra money for the road. So it's time for us to cash out where you leave us with your most valuable piece of advice, lesson learned, biggest tip that you gained along the way. So what do you have for us today?
It's really just believe in yourself. I've had a lot of people that have doubted me, hated me, talked behind my back, a lot of stuff. You really just got to know that you believe in your vision. You have to be passionate about it. Again, you have to have patience. You really do have to have patience. And yeah, just believe in yourself because you're the only one that can do it. And so if you let people bring you down and like, just be like, okay, maybe I can't do it, then that's when the goal stops. So, and the dream stops. So you really just got to, no matter what anybody says, people are always going to talk about you, but you just got to make whatever they're talking about you, have them have to change their mind. Because for example, like, yeah, again, like there's really just a lot of people that will doubt you and hate you because you're doing something that they want to do or like they don't expect anyone their age to do. So really it's believe in yourself.
I love it that, you know, the old adage goes, they don't boo nobodies, you know, so there you go. There you go. Maurice, man, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I'm excited for all the things that you got cooking on with WeTrain and everything you got going on. And I know you're going to continue to do great work. So thanks so much again.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me, and I really appreciate it.